Days went by already. Isn't that amazing? It's just unbelievable. Time passes so quickly. And what we're going to do for God, we're going to have to do for God now. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And today is the day we can serve God. Can't serve God yesterday. Can't serve God tomorrow. Preached that last night. But we can serve God today. And that's all that God asks for us, is one day at a time today. So let's take our Bible lesson from Exodus chapter number 13. I do so much reading and studying the Old Testament. I love it. I mean, to the point, I had a dear old saint of God come up to me one day, and I had preached revival in the church, and she came up to me, but she said, can I ask you somewhat of a personal question? I said, well, I suppose. She said, are you Jewish? I said, well, no, but why do you ask? She says, well, you Sunday school, you taught from the Old Testament. Sunday morning, you preach from the Old Testament. Sunday night, you preach from it. And many nights in the week, you preach from the Old Testament. I had to assure her, I did believe the New Testament. But you will never understand the New Testament until you understand the Old Testament. I used to think these things were different. The Old Testament was gone. It's finished. It's over. We don't need that anymore. Nothing is further from the truth. And you will never understand today's present world situation without understanding the Old Testament and the future that God has for Israel. God's not done with Israel. The kingdom will be restored. You will see that the promises made to Abraham will be restored when they shall look upon him in whom they have pierced and mourn for him. They will receive Messiah during that time after the time of Jacob's troubles and Daniel's 69th week. Well, we won't get into all that. Anyway, we're in the Old Testament, but I do believe the New Testament, all right? Exodus chapter number 13. Again, this is in the context of God's delivering his people. And I want you to find your way down to verse number 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. I think most of us would come to a point in our life when we say, nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by chance. Sometimes we use the term, oh, I was really lucky that... No, luck has nothing to do with it. We have a God that plans all things. And praise God, we got a God that's in control. Now, we don't always recognize that. And I'll be honest with you, there were times I lifted my eyes up to God and I said, God, what? What in the world's going on? God, I don't understand it. But that's when faith comes in. That's when trust comes in. And that's the Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you. Like Job said, even in the time of his affliction, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. And that's what we need. So nothing ever happens. And many of the Old Testament events are for our examples. 1 Corinthians 10:6 tells us that these were our examples, that we can learn from them. And you can learn two ways. You can learn by personal experience, right? It happened to you, you learned a lesson. They say one of the most unbelieved signs, and I think they're right, one of the most unbelieved signs is the sign that says wet paint. You see a sign that says wet paint, and what do people do? It says wet paint, but we got to find out for yourself, and you get the paint on your finger, etc. That's personal experience. Mama says, stove's hot, don't touch. Psst, ah! You learn by personal experience. Or you can learn by the experience of others. You say, I saw what they did. I saw what happened to them. I'm not going to let that happen to me. That is the best way to learn. You save yourself a lot of heartache. Young people, you can save yourself a lot of trouble. Young people, look up at me. Look up this way. Look up this way. That's right. You can save yourself a lot of heartbreak, a lot of trouble, if you look at the experience of others, see where it brought them, and to say, I'm not going down that road. Problem is, the devil will tell you, oh, you're stronger. You can handle it. You can do it. No, you can't. That's a lie of the devil. We're all made of the same flesh. And we can learn from the experience of others today. Now, in our text of Scripture, I think there's a teaching for us to learn. Israel was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they started their historic journey out of Egypt following the direction of God. In verse 17, please notice the words. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them, not through the way of the land of the Philistines. God says, that's the easiest way. That's the shortest way. That's the most simplest way. But God said, I'm not going to bring you that way. Have you ever felt like nothing comes easy for you? Have you ever felt like everybody else seems to do all right, but you have a hard time, and you say, Lord, how come I have it hard? How come things never go easy for me? How come I always have to struggle? I think we've all come to that sometime in our life. And so, why is it hard for me when it's so easy for some others? Well, the thing we must remember today is that the shortest way, the easiest way, is not always the best way. How many of us have flown in airplanes, I'm sure? How many of have flown in airplane? Yeah. You look down at a river, see how crooked it is? How windy? Why do rivers run crooked? Because you learned in science class, and I learned in science class, that water follows the path of what? Least resistance. It always finds the easiest way. If it's flowing down and it comes to a rock and says, oh, a rock. Too hard. I can't go. I don't want to go this way. I go this way. It comes to a hill and it says, oh, a hill. Too hard. I'll go, and consequently, it's crooked. And a lot of people are crooked in their life because the very same reason you chose the easy way instead of the right way. You chose the most convenient way instead of the right way. And consequently, we become crooked in our life. Oh, why do I have to work 40 hours a week when I could just steal some things? Or why do I have to get a legitimate job when I could just push some drugs and I could just get someone? Sometimes the easiest way makes us crooked. Now, God says, I'm not going to bring you the easy way. That must have been a little discouraging to him. I want to go from point A to point B. And again, you learn that the shortest distance between point A and point B is a straight line, right? But God says, I'm not going to bring you that way. The Bible says he brought them out about through the land of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Now, as we look at this, we find God had a special purpose for their living. And folks, tonight, and again, you'll forgive me, folks, if I talk to the young people a little bit. I just assume that they be spared a lot of that we went through. We're always going to need the fence at the top of the cliff. But we're always going to need the hospital on the bottom because some will break through the fence. But I'd much rather have the fence stopping a problem than a hospital on the bottom fixing a problem. And that's what we want in your life, young people. So many young people's lives are messed up, and you know it. So many lives are twisted and torn. I had a young man, I don't remember the disease, but it was a physical disease. His hands are all twisted. His arms are twisted. And I'm not making fun of him. I'm just showing you what he was like. He was humped over, and he was twisted. But he loved Jesus. He loved the Lord. He was at a high school assembly, talking to high school students, junior high and high school students. And he'd come out on the stage as he was and kind of walked out like this. Kids began laughing at him. Some began to mimic him. Poking fun, hey, you. And when he talked, it wasn't very clear. But I remember a statement that he said. He said, you laugh at me because I'm all twisted up on the outside, but you are all twisted up on the inside. And there's a lot of lives twisted up on the inside, but thank God I know a Jesus that could straighten you out. I know a God that could put you on the right path, and that's true of all of us. And God has in control. Now, here's the key passage. We're going to get to the points in just a moment, but I want to set a preface and an introduction here. The purpose of this, it says in verse 18, but God led the people. God was in control. And the will of God will never leave you, someone wisely said, where the grace of God cannot sustain you. If God brought you to a certain point in your life, you can handle it. If God brought a certain circumstance into your life, he is still in control. We may see the frailty of our flesh, but we also must see the awesome power of our God to deliver us. He may not change the circumstances. The three Hebrew children went through the fire. God could have put it out, but no, he brought them through the fire. We spoke on that earlier this week when we preached that message. But this is a time of instruction. I want you to notice how did God lead them? Look in verse 21 and 22. This is our actual Bible lesson for this morning. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Now God says, I'm going to lead. Lord, how do we know? They didn't have any road maps. They didn't have any interstates. No GPS. They had nothing. They were out in a desert wilderness. How do we know where to go? God says, there's two ways I'm going to lead you. In the daytime, there's going to be a cloud. Now you say, oh, there's clouds all over. No, it's just a cloud that was recognizable by them. So in the day, you follow the cloud. But sometimes they journeyed nighttime. So at nighttime, there's a pillar of fire that was shining in the sky. So God says, at night, you follow the pillar of fire. By day, you follow the cloud. For our lesson this morning, I want to center our attention on just the cloud. Just a cloud. I want you to see how God used three beautiful pictures of New Testament truth, how God leads us. Let's look at that cloud. Exodus chapter 14, next chapter over. Pharaoh had let the people go, but then Pharaoh had a change of heart. You remember that. And he says, I'm going to go get them, and I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to be harsher with them than I was before. It is in this context, verse 19 picks up. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, I want you to see the picture. The cloud's in front of them, right? They're following the cloud. Clouds going this way, go this way. The clouds going this way, we'll go this way. There's the cloud, go this way, follow this way. All of a sudden, Pharaoh's army is coming after him. That cloud was the visible presence of God. Notice what the cloud did, what God did. It was in front of their face, right? That's what it says, because they were following it. It went up over them and come behind them. It stood as verse number, was it 20? And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. God knew his people were in trouble. And God says, I'm going to be there for them. Point number one, God is for us. God is, some people, God's against me. Sometimes young people think this way. When you're taught the Bible, what the Bible says, how a young man ought to act like a young man and dress like a young man, and a young lady ought to dress like a young lady and act like a young lady. Who said, God's against me. He won't let me have fun. God is not against you. God is for you. But he's against, in all of our lives this morning, the things that harm us. I have a scar on my thigh. I don't remember getting it, but my older brother tells me how I got it. One day he walked into the kitchen. I don't know how old I was. I don't know what was going through my mind, but just a kid, a little kid. I got up on the kitchen counter and opened up the knife drawer. And I pulled out a butcher's knife. And for some reason, I cut my leg. Is that dumb? Yeah. It is dumb. Just a kid not knowing the danger. He saw the danger, and he came, and he took that knife from me. Did I look at him and say, thank you very much for helping me. Thank you very much for delivering me. You saw something. No, I said, and that's how it is with us. God sees something in our life that's not right, and he takes it away from him, and we complain to him. Now, God is not against us, but he may be against things in our life. Now, God says, my people are in trouble. And God says, I am going to protect them. I love that. He said, Egyptians, you're going to get to my people. You got to go through me first. Woo! I'll tell you something. And is that not the way it is with us today? That before the devil can throw anything at you, it's got to get God's permission. Because you belong to him. He is on your side. My daddy didn't come from this country. I think I might have told you this before. He came from Europe. And when he spoke, you could tell he wasn't born in this country. Spoke a lot of broken English. You could understand him. When he came here, he didn't understand one word of English. He couldn't read it. He couldn't write it. Didn't know it. But he learned, because this was going to be his new country. And I'm going to learn to be an American. And he got saved. He was a hardened man, worked hard, didn't have much time for God, but one day God saved him. I remember that night, and the pastor came over and talked to him. Mom and I thought we should leave the room and let him be alone, lest he feel intimidated with my mom and me in the room. Next thing I know, our pastor is calling for us to come into the room. And one of the few very rare times I saw my daddy with tears in his eyes. Never cried. Hard man. Worked hard. Told you yesterday, last night, he was an ice man on the cold, bitter cold ice out of the lake. Cold, tough man. But I saw tears in his eyes that night. And he looked up and he said, Mama, Danny, tonight I got a new heart. He didn't understand a lot of the English thing. He went to the doctors and he had, I guess there's something called an enlarged heart. He was so proud of that. He came home with the doctors. He said, the doctor told me I have a bigger heart. But I remember when he prayed, he would always pray simply. He didn't love all the cliches that you and I throw in prayer. And he would pray, and I'll never forget this. God, stay on my side. Amen. Now we would say, Lord, be with me. This type of thing. But he said, God, stay on my side. He wanted to be on the side. He wanted God for him. And this is not what this is showing here. That here the cloud came and says, wait a minute, you're not going to get to my people. I'm here. Go through me first. But I want you to notice something else about this. In verse 20, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now stop and think about that. That's what that's saying. One cloud. On one side, it was brightness. People could see. On the other side, it was darkness. The same cloud. Why is it that some young people, some adults can come to church, walk out the doors and say, I got nothing out of that. When others will come to hear the same message, sing the same songs, walk out the door and say, what a blessing, what a God we have. It was the same cloud. Maybe it just depends which side of the cloud you're on. If you're on God's side or you're on the world's side. And so one side was light and one side was darkness. And it was telling the people of Israel, I am for you. In Romans 8, we have three great, wonderful truths. I don't have time to look at them all. But Romans 8, 32, it says that God is for us. Why? Because he gave us his son. Someone must love somebody to give their son. I saw the flag on a casket yesterday. I heard the testimony of his life, how he served in World War II. The Lord brought him through that safely and brought him back home to live the freedom that he fought for. And I'm going to tell you something. You will not appreciate anything until you have to fight for it. Our problem is everything's handed down. Some people think that America is always there to give out money and give this money and give that money and give this health care. You don't understand a thing about the history of this country. Well, men love liberty more than life. And they stood before that Continental Congress and said, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. For the liberty and freedom of man, not the enslavement of government. I won't get on that. They said, we want to be governed by no one but God. And we don't need government to tell us what kind of light bulbs to burn and what kind of car to drive and this. But anything that's not worth fighting for is not worth having. And God gave his son. Told us he's on our side. And there are thousands of homes in which their sons and daughters never return from combat. But they love their country enough to die for it. Let me just say this and I'll get off of that. I think it needs to be said, and I'm glad for the young people to listen to this. Listen, listen. Patrick Henry stood up and said, after his impassioned preach, a speech for liberty, he says, I know not what course other men may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I'll not live under slavery and tyranny of another man. Next generation comes along and says, give me liberty, but I don't want to die for it. Present generation comes along and says, give me. You see, God gave his son because he loved us. He's on our side. He said, how should he not freely give us all things through him? The fact that he's for us, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. I'm not going to go through all that list. You know it today. That's telling us God is for us. And he stands between us and Satan. Point number two. Numbers chapter 9. God is for us. Thank the Lord for that. I'm on God's team. Whose team are you on today? Numbers chapter number 9. Find your way down to verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud was tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And it was so. When the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in the tents. According to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And it was so. When the cloud abode from even on the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. Now, we already saw God was for us, standing between us and the enemy, that cloud. But the cloud also gave them clear direction on what to do and when to do with their life. They had to watch the cloud. When the cloud moved, they were to move. When the cloud stayed put, they stayed put. And it is in our life. God has a will and a direction in your life. And again, young people, let me tell you, God has a plan for your life today. But I want to warn you, so does the devil. One plan will lead one way, and the other plan will lead the other way. God's plan is good and blessed and healthy and joyful. The devil's plan brings sorrow and heartbreak and despair. That's why the Bible says, choose ye this day who you will serve. But God has a plan and a will for everyone in our life. I mentioned last Sunday that the oldest among us, God has a plan for you. You may wonder, why am I still hanging on down in this old world? Because God's not done with you yet. He has a task. He has a job. So how do you follow the cloud? Now I want you to notice something here. 2.5 million people in the wilderness, in the desert, and the only guidance they had was the cloud. Now, we have God with us the same as they did. Now, there's three ways you could be out of the will of God illustrated by this passage of Scripture. The cloud stays put, and you don't like it. You know, like, Lord, I don't like the circumstance. I don't like these. What's going on? And God's not moving you out. And so you say, I don't care. The cloud is staying put. I am moving on. And you've left the protection of God. Another way, you could be outside of the will of God. The cloud moves on. And you say, I just planted the garden. I just painted a house. Now I ain't got to live. I want to stay here. You're out of the will of God. A third way you could be out of the will of God is the cloud moves and you say, okay, we're going to move. It says, oh, I know a better way. I know a shortcut. Don't talk to my wife about my shortcuts. Oh, I know a better way. I go around this. And we think we know a better plan than God. We think we know a better way. And God says, okay, I'm going to bring you this way. He says, oh, no, that's too hilly and too many valleys. I'm just going to go around this way. And it's a lot smoother. You have left the protection of the Lord. See, God is not only for us, but also we see that God is with us to guide us and direct us in our life today. You cannot improve on the will of God. It is perfect in every respect. Are you willing to move when God moves you? Are you willing to stay put when God tells you to stay put? And are you willing to walk the way that God leads you to go? That's the position of the cloud, the very presence of God. One final thing, then we'll be done. I have 5 minutes left. I should be done by 10:30. Is that right? About 10:30. Okay. Exodus chapter 40. Again, we're going to see another position of this cloud. We saw it went before them to guide them. Oh, but it came between them as a barrier between God's people and the enemy. We find that the cloud was their direction, that they were to walk, they were to go, they were to stay put and follow that cloud in the direction that it went. But now in our last illustration of this cloud, we find that not only is God for us, not only is God with us, but God is in us. Let's see, Exodus chapter 40, and let's start with verse number 34 at the end. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Oh, I long to see that, that the glory of God would just fall so much that Moses couldn't even go in. That must have been something, huh? That God's glory fell. That Moses, of all people, could not enter in to the tabernacle because the glory of God filled it. My Bible tells me, and we'll talk about this more in a few moments in the morning service, but your body is the temple of the Spirit of God. His glory ought to fill your life. How does that happen? How did this happen here that the glory of God filled it? Well, real quick, we're going to look at some verses, not even the entire verse, but we're in Exodus 40. And verse number 16, thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Verse 19, the end of the verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 21, the end of the verse, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 25, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 27, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 32, as the Lord commanded Moses. You see something in all those verses? When Moses did as God told him, the glory fell. And his glory will fall on us when we are obedient and to do all as the Lord commands us. Get it out of your head. Remove it from your thinking that you don't do this and you don't do that because it's against the church. It has nothing to do with it. Well, it's against my religion. It's got nothing to do with it. It is thus saith the Lord. God's commandment. and our commandments and whatever standards we may have come from the commandment of God and not from the whim of man. That's why we could say, thus saith the Lord. No wonder God rewarded Moses greatly to see his glory. And the point is this, the covering of the tabernacle foreshadowed the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God in our life. The question is, how are you treating your body, the temple of God, this morning? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What are you living for this morning? May we learn to live for God this morning, that his glory be seen in us. Simple lesson, just a simple cloud. But God is for us. Thank God. I'm on God's side. If you're not on God's side this morning, you can get on God's side. Amen. God is with us. We're not alone, to guide us, to lead us. He has a plan and a purpose for everyone in this room. God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and God is in us. May his glory shine. May the image of Jesus be seen in our life. Father, thank you today.